Today on the Political Theory of Everything, I will be giving you your daily dose of news for today's date, Friday, December 31st. And to start off our news today, we have an article from Fox News and the title of this one, AOC in Miami Beach for Taste of Freedom as New York sees record number of COVID cases. The subtitle, GOP Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' office was among those responding on social media to New York Democrats' pre-holiday visit. U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez appeared to get an early start on New Year's weekend, according to a report. The New York Democrat was seen maskless and drink in hand as she dined outside in Miami Beach, Florida, the National Review reported. The congresswoman and a companion were spotted at Duraku Sushi and Izakaya, the report said. The sighting quickly drew snarky reactions on social media. Quote, "You're being played by AOC dummies," end quote, one writer claimed, referring to the Democrat supporters. Quote, "Hey AOC, tell me you endorse Ron DeSantis without telling me you endorse Ron DeSantis," end quote, another person commented, referring to Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who has been known for coronavirus policies that contrast from many of those in Democrat-run states. Next up, someone said, quote, "Welcome to Florida, AOC. We hope you're enjoying a taste of freedom here in the Sunshine State thanks to Ron DeSantis' leadership," end quote. That actually is what Team DeSantis, that's what they tweeted out in relation to the AOC event. Then they said, quote, "P.S. We recommend the rock shrimp roll and the aoki Thai the next time you come to dine in Miami. Cheers," end quote. Ocasio-Cortez's pre-holiday trip came as her native New York City was dealing with a record number of first responders calling out sick and heading into New Year's Eve. More than 20% of the city's police officers and 30% of paramedics were sick Thursday, city officials said. Meanwhile, incoming New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who will be sworn in Saturday, said Thursday that he plans to keep in place the current coronavirus restrictions of outgoing Mayor Bill de Blasio, including a vaccination mandate for entering local businesses. The state of New York also set a new record for coronavirus infections for the second day in a row, reporting more than 74,000 new cases Thursday, according to WNBC TV of New York City. Hospitalizations also continue to increase in the Empire State, reaching more than 7,300, the report said. The number of ICU patients in New York rose to more than 1,000 on Thursday, breaking that mark for the first time since March, the station added. In Washington, congressional Republicans were asking the U.S. Supreme Court to block President Biden's vaccine mandate for businesses with 100 or more employees, arguing that Biden and the Occupational Safety and Health Administrations were exceeding their authority. Fox News contacted representatives of Ocasio-Cortez about her Florida trip, but received no immediate response to late-night messages. No surprise there. So a lot of people are just like, you bash on Florida as a state and all the things they do, but then you go out and you go there. And then you'll also, I mean, a lot of the left media says it's the worst place to go and the worst place to live right now, even though it's one of the top states that people are moving to and going to. You hear that, and then they go and they vacation there and they want to be there. And so it's just this double standard idea. It's like, hey, you're bashing Florida, but your lifestyle does not reflect that as you guys continue to go visit and be in Florida. And it just, they say, you know, the worst states to move to right now are Texas, Florida, all those, yet those are the highest, you know, like statistically, they have the highest rate of move-ins right now versus move, like they are increasing population while California, the one that they said you should move into, is decreasing in population. This continuation of, you know, the political debates back and forth of between red states and blue states that we continue to see, even if they don't actually mean any of it, but we continue to see that with the politicians and the media bashing each other's states and then going to each other's states. Politicians love their double standards. We move on to a CNN article titled, "Colorado Fire Destroys Hundreds of Homes." So there's 17 posts on this. The main thing is, I believe this now is the most destructive wildfire there's ever been in Colorado. I read somewhere like 30,000 plus houses have been destroyed. The governor said that the wildfire was, quote, a disaster in fast motion, end quote. It's apparently fire spread by gusts of up to 105 miles per hour. It apparently also had very unusual burn patterns, and would spread in the blink of an eye. The sheriff said there is still active fire in some areas, making it too dangerous for people to return to homes. The other updates talks about how to help. You can reach out to Boulder County's emergency call center if you need help. And if you can give help, the Boulder Office of Emergency Management is asking for people who want to offer shelter to sign up with Airbnb's Open Homes program. Boil water advisory extended to Boulder County's town of Superior. No reported fatalities from Colorado wildfires at this time, so hopefully it stays that way. Our Colorado governor says he spoke with the president about the wildfires. At least 500 homes lost in Colorado wildfire, Boulder County Sheriff says. I wonder, okay, I saw something. Okay. Maybe it was the people. Approximately 35,000 people have been evacuated because of the fire. I think that was the new record. Marshall Fire grew up to 6,200 acres overnight. So that is massive. I mean, all at once, 6,200 acres are burning. It's not that it's burned that much, that is actively 6,200 acres are on fire. Colorado mayors describe wildfire devastation. Houses were, quote, exploding right before our eyes, end quote. It also said fast-moving Colorado fire was, quote, upon people in a matter of minutes, end quote. Evacuation orders lifted for Broomfield, Colorado. You can see the smoke in the skies and the photos from there. University of Colorado football coach loses home in wildfire. Boulder County officials are asking residents to stay out of evacuation zones. Cold front producing snow. Huh, that's a change. The cold front producing snow moves into Boulder area. There is no way to attack Boulder fires head on, fire chief says. Hundreds of Colorado homes lost in fast-growing wildfires, and that was the first update. So that's all of the updates that they've had in relation to the fires. So hopefully we can keep the death count to zero, and that doesn't start rise, or at least it appears at zero. So hopefully, if it is there, it's obviously minimal. So hopefully we can keep it minimal, and hopefully they can figure out, and the snow helps out with calming it down. But a very distressed situation over in Colorado with a very massive wildfire. I didn't see anything for the cause of it, so I'm sure that'll be talked about after they solve the problem. They'll tell us the cause, but until then, until any other updates, we move on to the blaze. The title of this one: Iran launches rocket into space, claims it was carrying, quote, research devices, end quote. So the article starts: in the latest possible escalation of Iran's nuclear ambitions, the country has launched a rocket into space which was carrying, quote, research devices, end quote, according to Iranian state television. The launch drew condemnation and remarks of concern from a number of Western democracies who are concerned that the launches violate UN Security Council's resolutions, and may present a further dangerous continuation of Iran's nuclear ambitions. The article continues to say, according to a report from ABC News, which translated the launch video, the white rocket in the video bore a legend which declared it the, quote, Simorgh satellite carrier. An Iranian spokesman claimed that the rocket, quote, had launched the three research devices at an altitude of 470 kilometers, or other 290 miles, and at a speed of 7,350 meters per second, end quote, according to Reuters. It was not clear whether the rocket actually reached orbit, but according to Iranian state propaganda, quote, the intended research objectives of this launch were achieved, end quote. A spokesperson for the U.S. Department told Reuters that the United States government was aware of the launch and stated that the launch defied a 2015 U.N. Security Council resolution. Quote, the United States remains concerned with Iran's development of space launch vehicles, which poses significant proliferation concern, end quote. The German government also condemned the launches, according to Reuters. Under the administration of former President Donald Trump, the U.S. government sanctioned Iran's space agency in 2019, claiming that the agency was in fact a cover for an intercontinental ballistic missile program. In a September 2019 statement, then-Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said, quote, the United States will not allow Iran to use its space launch program as cover to advance its ballistic missile programs, end quote. Iran's space launch comes about a week after the country launched a dozen ballistic missiles in a, quote, warning to Israel, end quote, that drew sharp condemnation from the British government. The U.S. government did not comment on the ballistic missile launch immediately, but in the wake of the space launch, the State Department linked those launches to the space launch in a broader condemnation of Iran. Nuclear ambitions and violations of UN resolutions. The United States is currently engaged in indirect talks with Iran in Vienna in yet another attempt to end Iran's nuclear program with diplomacy, which didn't work the first time, so probably won't work this time. The big reason for rockets is that's a key part of intercontinental ballistic missiles, like nuclear bombs. They go up into orbit, and then they come back down, simply speaking. So the fact that they're testing this out, even if it is a research device, it's still, they're learning how to get it up there and send it up into space. And this isn't a big rocket. I mean, this is a small one. And so it's not quite the same as when we, you know, launch something into space. And it wasn't a satellite or anything. This is just a big worry for their nuclear intentions, as they do not like America and they do not like Israel in the very least. So this is something that I'm sure the United States will be keeping a close eye on, or at least I hope they will be, as this can pose an absolutely, massive threat to America if they actually did get the ability to create nuclear bombs. But we move on to our next article. From CBS, title, U.S. hits record high with nearly 500,000 COVID-19 cases in a single day. The U.S. reported nearly 500,000 new COVID infections in a single day, marking the largest daily total of any country during the pandemic. More than 486,000 new cases were reported in a 24-hour period, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Thursday. 15 states reported a record high number of average daily infections. Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Virginia, and Washington, Puerto Rico, and Washington, D.C. are also averaging more daily cases than ever. With COVID-19 cases rising so fast, fueled by the rapid spread of the Omicron variant, it's estimated that more than 3 Americans are testing positive every second, according to CDC data. In New York, cases are up 11% since Wednesday. That was the big thing people, you know, were bashing. We talked about this, how it's not red state versus blue state. It's so much more complicated, but they're bashing Florida and that they were going to have the worst. But then when the main reason for that is because it's a red state, and the idea was that, you know, oh, nobody's vaccinated in Florida, when in actuality, their two-shot vaccine is above 62%. And their one-shot vaccine vaccination is about 70%. So they'll shortly be 70% with a two-shot, I imagine. But then you look at New York, and I think it's either their one- or two-shot that's 72%, which is only 2%, basically 2% higher than Florida. And that's why I said, well, if you're going to bash Florida and say Florida's going to go down because Florida has all their problems there, New York has the exact same number of vaccinations and all that. So you either have to say that the vaccine doesn't work, or that it's a lot more complicated, and that New York will also have a similar, if not more, or less, I mean, barely less, equal or more cases than Florida will, because they are basically in the exact same situation as Florida. And that's what we see here. New York is right there among Florida. But they'll only talk about, oh, look at Florida, they had their record. But so did Hawaii, blue, Maryland. Okay, it's a red governor, but it's a blue state. Massachusetts, blue. New Jersey, barely blue. New York, blue. Rhode Island, I believe, is still blue. I'm not sure. Virginia and Washington, both blue. Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. are also averaging more daily cases than ever. So, Puerto Rico, but Washington, D.C., exceedingly blue. And that's where you can see it's basically half and half, which shows it's, oh, Connecticut, blue. I mean, you can see it's roughly half and half for these 15 states at blue to red, which shows it's so much more complicated than, oh, you're a red state, so you're gonna have more cases. That doesn't make any sense. That's not how it works. It's so much more complicated, especially because our vaccine numbers between red and blue states are very, very similar. Maybe not identical, but very similar. But it continues on. Hospitalizations are at their highest level since September, with more than 81,000 COVID patients hospitalized nationwide, according to the CDC. A CDC model suggests more than 42,000 Americans could die in the next 3 weeks. That'd be a very high number. And then it follows with a quote, "We are at the very beginning, unfortunately, and likely have at least 4 to 8 weeks before we're going to see a rise and then begin to fall. And during that time, we are going to see COVID activity in this country like we haven't seen since the beginning of the pandemic." Mike, end quote, Michael Osterholm, an epidemiologist at the University of Minnesota, told CBS News, resume quote, "We're not going to live forever in a constant crisis, but for the time being, it's going to be a challenge," end quote, Osterholm added. A lot of different approaches are being had for going at COVID-19, and you look at like DC with their exceedingly strict requirements. I think they have a mask mandate again, and then you have January 15th coming along where everyone has to have their first shot in order to go into a restaurant, and then March 1st where everyone has to have their second shot, and then you have all the school stuff, and they're really uptight. But if you look at them, they're struggling just as much as Florida and them are. And once again, that's my point, is it's not a red state versus blue state issue, and it's not as simple as who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. There's a lot more issues with that. If it's the youngest state in the country and they're unvaccinated, they're probably going to have less illnesses or serious illnesses. But even past the vaccine, they're just younger. If it's the oldest state in the country, they're bound to have more cases, even if they have all three shots, because it's just older people and they're more susceptible to serious illness, or not even serious illness, but more susceptible to symptoms, just by themselves, symptoms. So it's a lot more than just, oh, is it a red state? Oh, then they're gonna have more. Because as you see right here, the 15 states that are at records are basically 50-50 red and blue. And if you look, all their vaccination numbers are basically the same, like percentage-wise. Obviously, Florida probably has the most vaccinations out of all of these, number-wise, because they're the biggest populated state out of all these, barely above New York. But it's so much more complicated than just, oh, are you vaccinated, and are you in a red or a blue state? There's so much more beyond that. It's demographics and the amount of testing that you can have that doesn't increase your cases, that just increases your known cases. But we continue on to the Daily Wire to change subjects. We spoke about Colorado earlier in a different way, but we also have a issue here with truckers. Truckers did not want to drive into the state of Colorado for quite a while because of the story I'm about to read to you. The truckers were basically protesting Colorado because of the way that they sentenced one another trucker who had an accident, and they're like, we have people who are convicted of murder who don't get as many as this accident. That's what I'm about to read you right here, and so I'm being vague, but that's because I'm about to explain it all to you. The title: Colorado Governor reduces 110-year sentence for truck driver who killed four. A truck driver was sentenced to 110 years in prison for his role in a deadly crash, and has had his sentence reduced by Governor Jared Polis, who is a Democrat. Rogel Aguilera Madero's, a 26-year-old truck driver from Texas, was given the lengthy sentence due to Colorado law following the deadly crash. Aguilera Medeiros maintains that his brakes failed on a downhill grade outside Denver, causing him to totally to fatally strike four people. During his trial, prosecutors argued that Aguilera Medeiros acted recklessly in his decisions prior to the deadly crash. Aguilera Medeiros was traveling an estimated 85 miles per hour on a stretch of road with a 45 mile per hour speed limit for commercial vehicles. He was sentenced to 110 years in prison for a 28 car crash and fire caused by his failed brakes. Wow. 28 cars were in the crash. Million signed a petition to argue that Aguilera Medeiros' sentence was too steep, and on Thursday, Governor Polis agreed, calling the crash a, quote, tragic but unintentional act, end quote, NBC reported. Quote, while you are not blameless, your sentence is disproportionate compared with many other inmates in our criminal justice system who committed intentional, premeditated, or violent crimes, end quote, Polis wrote in a letter addressed to Medeiros. Polis added that the case, quote, highlights the lack of uniformity between sentences, end quote. He continued to say, quote, this was a tragic event that affected many Coloradans. Though your actions have caused immense pain, I am encouraged by your personal reflection and the commercial vehicle safety changes that were made in the wake of this tragedy to ensure this type of event never happens again, end quote. And that's where the point of this was, the reason so many truckers protested was because, well, like they said, you know, these violent criminals who murder four in a gang are able to get out, you know, like after 40 years. And he gets a 110-year sentence. And so they're saying, how does this make sense? And you can look up videos and pictures, but you can just see these massive lines of trucks just sitting on the side of highways, not going into Colorado because of this event. So the governor is doing it for two reasons. One, he realizes that he can't, you know, hold off forever for the trucks not coming in. And he also realizes it is a bit of an exaggeration in, or not exaggeration, it's a bit extra in the amount of years that he was given, 110, and 10 seems a bit more suitable for this. Following Medeiros' steep sentencing, a Change.org petition was started with more than 5 million people demanding his sentence be reduced. Quote, this accident was not intentional, nor was it a criminal act on the driver's part. No one but the trucking company he is, was employed by, should be held accountable for this accident. End quote, said the petition, which was started by a woman named Heather Gilby. Prior to Polis's letter reducing Medeiros' sentence, the Denver Post editorial board called on the governor to commute the sentence. And it just continues saying, you know, he wasn't drunk, he wasn't intentionally driving this way, he was not racing or anything. He couldn't control his accelerating truck down the road. He lost control. Is basically what he said. A very interesting situation there that finally has been resolved. People have been waiting for this thing to happen for a while now, and so hopefully Colorado, you know, with their wildfires, are also able now to catch up in their not so much economy, but like, you know, just their supplies. And we move on to our last article. It's an extra one today from a new source, PBS. But I wanted to talk about it, and this was the easiest one I could find that did talk about what I wish to talk about. And it has to do with vaccine mandates and all that. So the title, Fauci says vaccine mandate for U.S. air travel might incentivize more shots. And so you'd expect right there in the article title to say, Fauci says vaccine mandate for U.S. air travel might reduce cases. But no, he said that when he was talking about the vaccine, which I'm about to play for you now, he doesn't mention anything about increasing the safety, because already to catch a case of COVID-19 on a plane is about like 0.003% or 0.0003%. You're something exceedingly small, basically like 3 in 10,000, 3 in 100,000. And so you would think, you know, when putting in a COVID vaccine mandate or a mask mandate, it's to make the situation more safe, right? Wouldn't that be what the vaccine mandate does? But instead, here he's saying that, oh, if we put in a vaccine mandate, it'll just make people go get the vaccine, because now it's like, oh, I can't fly without it. Oh, I'm just going to go get the vaccine. He didn't say, oh, it'll also make it safer. He just, oh, it'll make people get the vaccine. Let's do it. And so that makes you also wonder how many of these are compel vaccine mandates that they've been giving out, like the restaurant ones. I mean, the reality of trying or of spreading or catching COVID in a restaurant is exceedingly small. The main things would be like a concert where it spreads or stuff like that. But among family members, and then at work where you're with people you usually aren't with. You know, at home, you're spreading it with them as you sit next to them in an office or something like that. But at a restaurant, once again, you're already with those people that you're already with all the time. And so it's. It's very, or you go to work, you catch it there, or you spread it there, and then you go back to your family. It's not at the restaurant where you are spreading it. It's at your home, where you would be spreading it. And that's just, it just doesn't make too much sense with those vaccine mandates in those places. And this is where you wonder how many of those are like that, though. How many of those are just compel vaccine mandates, like the one we see here, which I'll now play the clip of Dr. Anthony Fauci saying, you know, this might just incentivize people to get the vaccine. And then we will continue the article afterwards. So here's the clip of him saying it.
If you're talking about requiring a vaccination to get on a plane domestically, that is just another one of the requirements that I think is reasonable to consider. When you make vaccination a requirement, that's another incentive to get more people vaccinated. If you want to do that with domestic flights, I think that's something that seriously should be considered.
So there is that clip. We'll start the article now. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top U.S. infectious disease expert, said Monday the U.S. should consider a vaccination mandate for domestic air travel, signaling a potential embrace of the idea of an idea the Biden administration has previously eschewed as COVID-19 cases spike. Fauci, President Joe Biden's chief science advisor in the pandemic response, said such a mandate might drive up the nation's lagging vaccination rate as well as confer strong protection on flights for which a federal regulations require all those age 2 and older to wear a mask. And that's right. I don't get, they say, you know, oh, it also increases protection, but they put the quote of a video of the video I played for you, or the sound bit I played for you. But they don't put the quote of him saying it'll make it safer. I don't see, as I, you know, look at this article, there's no quote of him saying, oh, it'll also make it safer. So that's PBS, which would be left leaning, trying to slide in, you know, like, oh, it's not, don't worry, it's not just to compel. They're trying to basically defend him and protect him and say, you know, oh, it's not just to compel. It's also because of protection. But you just, where did he ever say it? He didn't in that interview. And you guys aren't even quoting it if he did say it in the interview. So that's a key thing, is people might, oh, he also said this. But if they don't give you a quote, and they only give you a quote for one thing he said and not the other, odds are he didn't say the other. And that's where they give the quote, you know, like, oh, it's another incentive. The Biden administration has thus far balked at imposing a vaccination requirement for domestic air travel. Two officials said Biden's science advisors have yet to make a formal recommendation for such a requirement to the president because, obviously, it's going to be very difficult to work that around the Constitution. The officials who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss internal deliberation said a vaccine mandate on planes could trigger a host of logistical and legal concerns. Oh, like I just said. The U.S. currently mandates that most foreign nationals traveling to the U.S. must be fully vaccinated against the coronavirus, though citizens and permanent residents only need to show proof of a negative test taken within a day of boarding. Federal rules don't require people traveling by air within the U.S. to show a negative test. Hawaii requires travelers to test or show proof of vaccination to avoid a mandatory quarantine. Biden did not respond to questions on whether he was considering implementing a domestic air travel vaccination requirement, but he told reporters that the subject was discussed on a call with the nation's governors Monday morning. Quote, they asked Dr. Fauci some more questions about everything from whether or not he thought he was going to move to test at home, on air flights and that kind of thing, end quote, Biden said of the call before departing the White House for his home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Earlier this year, the White House explored a domestic vaccination requirement for flights, or one requiring either vaccination proof or proof of negative test. But officials have not been eager to mandate vaccination for domestic air travel because they expected to face immediate legal challenges, mitigating its potential effectiveness as a tool to drive up vaccinations. So they're pretty much just repeating themselves at this point in the article. They want to do it, but it's not constitutional, so they're having troubles doing it because that's not constitutional. and so I just wanted to bring up the reason I brought up this article. Like I said, it was the easiest article to bring up about it, but he doesn't say that it's to cause safety. He just says it's to compel or to incentivize, I guess. You know, it's a nicer version of saying compel, but we don't see any mention of safety in regards to the vaccine being on flights, which, because it really wouldn't affect the spread of vaccine or the spread of COVID on flights, because there's already barely any spread of COVID on flights at all. I mean, 10,000 people, quick math would say about every 500 flights, 3 people get COVID. Why are we now forcing a vaccine in a situation like that? It doesn't make any sense at all. But it does, because as he said, it's to incentivize, not for safety. So safety-wise, it doesn't make sense, because we probably wouldn't do anything, to be honest. But it does incentivize people to get it, because now they have to get a vaccine to fly, and flying is a huge part of travel nowadays. And once again, not about safety, and you wonder how many other vaccine mandates are not about safety. And that is the big question here, is what at this point is to incentivize, or to compel, or to control? And what at this point is to actually, you know, have a safe environment. And I think it's going to be very difficult to differentiate between the two, especially as everyone, all like a bunch of scientists, all have different opinions about what to do about the virus. And that's also what makes it exceedingly difficult. I mean, we have the White House and their advisors saying, oh, yes, if you're a kid, you should get fully vaccinated with a booster shot and all that. Yeah. But then you have Dr. Marty McCary of Johns Hopkins University saying, if you're a kid, at most, just get one vaccine. I mean, Johns Hopkins University is, I am pretty sure, a very respected institution. And if their top doctor there is saying that, or top expert on COVID is saying that, and yet we have another top expert on COVID saying something else from another place, not as well respected, just we're going to have to take a lot of advice and quotes from, or information from, top doctors who disagree, and you're going to have to come to your own conclusions. And that's kind of what's happening now. As Biden said, you know, President Biden said, it's not a federal fix, it's going to be state fix. We see that now, where you're going to have to take into your conclusions and come to your own at that point, just come to your own conclusions, and based off that is how you wish to control your safety. And that is going to be starting up very shortly, as I imagine the vaccine mandate that President Biden has implemented will not actually end up going through. So it'll come down to states, and so you have to elect your representatives based off what you believe is what your conclusions are. And if you vote blue, then that means you believe in vaccine mandates and such. And if you vote red, that means you don't think there should be a vaccine mandate. It doesn't mean that vaccines don't work or vaccines are bad, but you just don't believe it should be compelled and mandated upon people to get. And so there's more issues with that, you know, voting blue versus red, but on COVID only, that's the main thing, and mass mandates and all that. But until you actually have to make that decision, that is all the news that I have for you today. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Friday. A happy New Year's to you. Happy New Year's Eve, I guess, today. And I hope 2022 goes well, at least better than 2021. But until then, thank you so much for listening.